Hello and welcome to the Autism Mums podcast.
I'm Victoria.
And I'm Natalie.
We're two sisters raising autistic children who know the joy, the challenges and the everyday moments.
This is a supportive space for honest conversations, practical tips, shared strength and expert advice.
Whether you're celebrating a win, surviving a meltdown or just trying to make it through the day, we're right here with you.
Join us as we share the ups, the downs, and everything in between parenting autistic children. In this episode, we welcome Karen Mason, the founder of My Safe Place, who merges her extensive experience in the holiday park industry with a heart for supporting neurodivergent families. Karen's mission is to create safe, welcoming environments for all families to enjoy accessible and stress-free holidays. I think we could all do with a bit of that.
Welcome to the podcast, Karen.
Thanks for having me.
Could you start by talking us through your journey to starting My Safe Place, please?
Yeah, sure. So I've actually worked in the park industry, holiday parks, for over 35 years now, and worked in various roles, operationally managing parks, all sort of jobs. Decided about 18 months ago, after an episode supporting my brother and his neurodivergent children, that I wanted to pivot where I was in the business and help and encourage parks to become more inclusive when it came to neurodivergent guests. So I literally stopped what I was doing, spent 18 months now researching, talking to lots of families, working in local charities, and My Safe Place evolved. And here we are. We're ready to go.
Oh, that's brilliant. I understand you pivoted overnight your business. Was it the experience with your nephew that was the catalyst for that?
Absolutely. So my brother has three neurodivergent children that I've helped support over the years. And the stress of that situation actually led to my brother being admitted to hospital 18 months ago. So I stepped in to help support the family in many different ways. And it was a conversation one day with my brother where I was saying, look, you guys need a holiday break. He just looked at me in disbelief, said, where are we going to go? Nowhere is geared up for us. And we've tried to have two breaks of holiday parks and it failed and it was really stressful. And I just had a light bulb moment because I work in that industry and why hadn't I recognized this? It was so true that there isn't accommodation that's safe and secure for neurodivergent families. There's no provision in terms of staff training, sensory areas. And I went to bed and I woke up the next day and I said to my husband, I'm setting up a new business and it's called My Safe Place. And this is what we're doing.
How brilliant. Yeah, I can talk from my experience, really, because we used to have a caravan of our own and we took our son, I think, only a handful of times, but every time was really difficult. I think he got overexcited and it just ended up being a really stressful experience for us. And I think you've really tapped into a gap there, because if they were better set up, then there'd be places to go when they're dysregulated. And just having that more supportive environment, you don't feel like such an outsider.
Absolutely. So many families now. I didn't realise it was such a problem, actually, to get away. It sort of evolved because originally I thought, OK, what can we do? Can we maybe just look at encouraging parks to maybe have a sensory room on site? And then you go one step further and think, actually, that's not enough. The main feedback I had from families was accommodation. That wasn't safe. They were worried about maybe damage to the property, various other things. So because I've helped design a lot of park homes in my career and I've got a strong connection with all the manufacturers, I was able to go and sit with them and design a neurodiverse friendly unit.
Brilliant.
Yeah, could you talk to us about what that looks like?
Okay, so it's still slightly under wraps a little bit at the moment. However, it's say the heart of it really was based around safety. So I know a lot of the parents were saying the caravan doors and windows were not lockable, and so their children were trying to escape. That was a big issue. Things like in the kitchen having safety door locks, magnetic locks on the units. And we've also designed in things like robust furniture with rounded edges. We've got flooring that's stain resistant. So all the things that as a mother, you'd be panicking a little bit about the safety. And then we are going to be having the third bedroom will be a purely sensory bedroom. So we'll have a safe bed in there, and we'll have a bubble corner unit and various other items. So that if the child is needed to regulate, you don't have to actually leave the accommodation. You can just relax. And one of the main things I wanted was for the master bedroom and ensuite to feel comfortable and luxurious, because let's face it, as parents, you need a break. You need to feel like you're on holiday. So I didn't want to design the unit so it looked like an accessible unit or clinical. It still would very much suit all family members, young children, because it's got a lot of safety measures.
It's great that you've actually spoken to families and you've used that to inform the changes, because they sound so well thought out.
Yeah, I was really lucky as well to have worked with local charity, Diverse Abilities. They've been incredible. We spent some time with them, talking to the staff. We actually did a photo shoot with them for our new website. So the feedback was great. It's difficult because one size doesn't fit all, because as you will be aware, each child is so different. But I just wanted the parks to have some provision, because something's better than nothing at all. So even if a park doesn't have all of the provisions that I would like, if they maybe didn't have the accommodation but had the sensory room or a sensory garden and we did some staff training, that would be music to my ears.
Yeah, I think a big part of it is building that awareness, isn't it, as well?
Yes.
And the training's such a big part of that.
Yeah, I'm actually working with a training provider who specialises in activities for neurodivergent children. Because again, on some of the larger sites where they have entertainments and activities, we decided with the training, we needed to break that down into different modules. So we'll have training that's introduction to neurodiversity for seasonal staff and part-timers. Then we'd have training for the activity ents, team leaders, management, and we would like them to have a site ambassador who is responsible for overseeing all of the above. And if they tick those boxes, that we then would benchmark them and they would be part of our accreditation scheme that we'd like to roll out.
Brilliant. Yeah, fantastic. And you mentioned your modular sensory garden rooms. Could you tell us more about that?
Yeah. So in the early days, because my husband is from a background of construction, we wanted to build sensory rooms for people at home, actually, in the garden, because I felt if we'd had that for my brother and his children, it would have had a more positive effect. We could have separated my nephew away from the main household. So we started designing modular garden rooms, and we just finished a sensory room for our local council, BCP Council. And that actually was for a preschool charity where they are dealing with children before they get into school to support them with their needs and the families. So we've just finished a lovely little sensory room for them, and we had a lovely time with them at their open event. We'd like to do more modular sensory rooms, whether it be for local authorities or a family or a charity. They can be designed to suit any space, size.
Sounds great. It really sounds so positive for families. It's such a needed change. So what's it been like working with the local authorities and the charities?
The contact with BCP came by referral, and they were really great, actually, and how they've supported the local charity, which is Dingley's Promise. We had quite a small window. They came to us and said, look, we need a room very quickly, built within the 6-week summer holidays, ready for the kids in September. So yeah, off we went, talking to manufacturers, and thankfully managed to deliver. So yeah, we hope to do more. They were really pleased with what we produced. And we had a turnkey package. So we design and build the sensory room, and we also supply all the internal sensory kit if that's what's required.
So that's so good. A really good idea. What mistakes do you see?
From my experience, again, one size doesn't fit all. However, you can go into a sensory room and sometimes it's just so overwhelming, and I find it too much, let alone people using it. A lot of the bigger commercial companies that do sensory rooms, they offer some fantastic products, but quite often they're not always well thought out of in terms of the setting and the people that are going to be using them. I always try and just extract that information and have not the sensory overload and split it up into maybe having a quieter area as well, rather than trying to just put everything in one room. So yeah, it's just about listening to the client, really.
Yeah, I know from personal experience, we've used a sensory room before at an airport and it wasn't very well thought out. There was some broken things in there and things that weren't switched on, and it felt a bit like it was just a place to shove people who were struggling rather than it being an actual well thought out facility.
It doesn't have to be all singing, all dancing and costing thousands of pounds. A colleague of mine had to do an audit on a local business and they advertise they have a sensory room, which actually it turned out to be, again, like what you were saying, not the nicest rooms with some broken furniture and really just a bubble lamp. However, in that moment of meltdown, that bubble lamp totally helped regulate my colleague's son. Sometimes it's just the simple, small things, which is better than nothing.
Yeah, definitely. So how could local authorities or charities benefit from getting involved in your scheme? And if they wanted to, how would they do that?
I had a meeting this week with one of our local MPs, Vicky Slade, who is very pro neurodivergency and SEND, and is working very hard locally to help schools and support families. And we were discussing that schools and nurseries, again, really could benefit from just a small sensory area away from the main school building, and that our modular setups are ideal for that purpose. Vic is actually encouraging us now to contact as many local schools as possible to share what we're doing to help support the children, because we all know there's limited places in specialist settings. We're just going to try and get the word out there, and we'd like to work with as many local authorities and charities as possible.
Excellent. How can we and anyone listening to this podcast help you in your quest?
I think if your listeners could go to our website, we actually have a sign up for the holidays, so that once we've got parks on board, we can notify families that there's going to be neurodivergent friendly settings. Because one of the biggest battles for me at the moment is convincing the parks there's a need. So I can sit till I'm blue in the face, given them the statistics that I have nationally, and the numbers go into the millions. However, obviously, a lot of the parks are just looking at this as a commercial transaction, which I get, but they keep asking me, but what do the numbers look like? How many families would they actually be interested, Karen, if we provided this? So I'd just love to hear from your listeners and families. Whether they want to email me or sign up or phone me, perfect.
Okay, that's excellent. We'll put all your details in the show notes that anybody who wants to get in contact can and get on the wait list, which I imagine there's going to be a lot of people because this sounds so good.
Yeah, I hope so. I am in the early stage of talking to some of the major park groups, and I'm hoping that at least a couple of those will move forward. And if they do, with the amount of parks they have nationally, because my goal, albeit it might be a bit of a big ask, is to have at least one park in every county within the next 12 months. So it doesn't matter where the families are, they've got an option. Whether they just want to go 20 minutes up the road to the local park for a quick break, or they want to travel into a new area. And we're also talking to local authorities and charities about using the accommodation of the parks out of season, so for respite care, for occupational therapists who seem to absolutely love the idea. So yeah, the more support we get from the families, the better, actually.
Definitely. I think there's a lot of us that don't go away because it's too stressful and we don't even entertain the thought of it, or certainly myself, I have to gear myself up for it. Can I face it?
Yeah.
Because it's a lot more work and it's a lot more stress.
Yeah. I actually had a mum message me a couple of months ago, I put something out on social media about what we're doing. And she messaged me to say, Karen, we're currently at a holiday setting. And she said, we've been here 2 days and we're already thinking of packing up and coming home because it's so stressful. The accommodation is so unsafe. And she said, I'm exhausted. It's been like a military operation getting us here. And it just doesn't feel at the moment worth it. And I thought, that is so sad. It shouldn't be that way. And let's hope in the next few months we make a difference.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. It is that lead up as well. Like you said, she felt it had been a military operation. I know we certainly have that when we're going away. There's so much preparation that we have to do for my son to get him there in the first place. And the last time we went on holiday, he was so upset just by the change that he wanted to call the police because we were taking him away. I know, not a good start to the holiday. I'm just saying to my husband, some families are probably really excited at this point, getting ready to go on holiday, and we're being threatened with the police.
I know, that sounds familiar.
You certainly want to get there and then to have a good time, and it all to have been worth it for everybody, don't you? Which is what you're going to help people achieve.
And also, I'm trying to deal with a variety of different park settings. So obviously there's the big all singing, all dancing parks, which is not ideal for everybody, but obviously they have great facilities, swimming pools, etc. And I think if you've got 2 or 3 children, you need to accommodate everybody. But I also deal with smaller family-run parks and small glamping sites. So I'm working with a glamping manufacturer. We've designed something so that somewhere that's peaceful in a quiet countryside setting that's not going to trigger. But with all of the parks, to be part of our scheme, we will be doing a social story. So like you were saying with your son, it's about all the preparation. And we can then have that available. So even 6 months before you're going on holiday, you can let your child play that over and over and over to see where they're going.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Perfect. We certainly have to do that. I usually make a book, and there's no room for spontaneity when we go away. Every day is planned out. If we're going on a trip, it's booked so that it can go into the social story so that he can prepare himself in advance and then look at it in the morning. So we certainly have, when we went on holiday last time, there was a morning he was completely paralyzed, couldn't get out of bed, couldn't eat. And I said, would you like to look at the book? Would you like to see what we're doing today? And when he could see that social story of what today looks like, then he could breathe, then he could eat, then he could get dressed, and we could do the day. So it's so important
to show it and demonstrate it. And I think, again, that's the difficulty I have and will have going forward, because I think unless the park owners have been touched by neurodiversity, I know from meetings I've had in the last 6 months, they have no idea what this looks like. And so just being able to do this podcast and hear it from parents who get it, it's fabulous, because it just gives me something to say to them, look, this is real, and families will come and will book. And I've been quite clear that I've tried to design the accommodation, as I say, so it's suitable for any family, because I think they worry that, oh, are we just boxing this off to one market?
Yeah. No, I think that's really good. It'll be so helpful, I'm sure.
Yeah,
hopefully. There's a lot of excitement at our end, a lot of nerves, because literally have stopped everything that we were doing previously, put all our own money into this project, but we're determined that we will have parks on board ready for next season.
That would be fantastic. You must keep us posted on how it's all going.
Yeah. Love to. And we'll be doing short videos to share with everyone as and when we get parks on board and what they look like.
That would be great.
Yeah.
So where can people go to follow you and follow what's going on?
So at the moment, we're just starting with our social media. So if initially people go to the website, we will be having blogs on the website, and we're just going to get going with the social media now. So it'll be all the usual Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
Okay, brilliant. Do you have a link for your website?
Yeah, it's mysafeplacesouthern.co.uk. And I say there's a sign up page there as well. So if anyone's interested in what we're doing in the future with regards to the holidays, and what I would hope is that I would also be able to then come back with special offers the parks might be running as well.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much for joining us. And we can't wait to find out more.
Thanks for joining us today on the Autism Mums podcast. We hope you have found a little support, a little solidarity, and a reminder that you are not in this alone. If you enjoyed the episode, we'd love it if you'd follow the show and share it with another parent or carer who might need to hear it. And if you've got a story or a moment you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you at www.theautismmums.com. Until next time, take care.